Well, today I'd like to begin the sermon by introducing you all to something that I believe at one time or another we have all been affected by. And maybe for some, if not all of us, may have affected others by it. So for introductions, I actually found a poem titled Nobody's Friend. I didn't find the poem. That would have been my wife. She found the poem and sent it to me. But it is entitled Nobody's Friend. And I'll go through it here, and maybe you'll know who it is I'm introducing. It says, Nobody's friend. I am nobody's friend. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I'm quoted, the more I am believed. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and I have no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and I wreck marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights. I cause heartaches and indigestion. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. Even my name hisses. I make headlines and I cause headaches. My name, have you figured it out yet? Is gossip. You know, this poem I thought was quite good in introducing this particular topic and its effects. The author is actually unknown, but I feel like they fully understood. They understood exactly the damage gossip would actually bring about. I thought they laid it out pretty well. If you haven't noticed, as of late, I believe gossip is live and well in the world that we live in. Wouldn't you say so? And you may not believe this. You may not. But did you know gossip even exists in God's church? Does it surprise anybody? But you know what? God does not like it. God does not like gossip. Well, why? Well, we read the poem, all the different things that can come because of gossip. Because gossip, if you will, causes distrust. It causes conflict. It causes, of course, from conflict comes hurt. And then from that, relationships are destroyed. They're damaged, destroyed. Whether that be friendships, whether that be marriages, whatever it may be. Gossip triggers many things. It also triggers, if you will, suspicion and brings about, ultimately, division. It ultimately brings about division. Gossip is, plain and simple, sin. Gossip is sin, and gossip will actually keep those out. It'll actually keep those who don't repent out of the kingdom of God, because it has no place in God's kingdom. No place in God's kingdom, and it has no place. If it has no place in God's kingdom, does it have a place in the church today? Absolutely not. Does it have a place in a day-to-day life of a Christian? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So today, if you hadn't figured it out already, we're going to discuss the topic of gossip. And if you want a title for the message, the title is this: Speaking of Gossip. Speaking of gossip, I feel to understand what gossip is all about, we actually need to understand how it spreads, and then we need to look into all the different forms of gossip that we may not even have thought about. Dictionary.com, that's where I go to from time to time if I need a quick definition. Dictionary.com defines gossip as this: idle talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others, light or familiar talk or writing. A person given to tattling or idle talk. The Oxford English Dictionary defines it as this: casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed to be true. Gossip, as we can see just reading these definitions, gossip has everything to do with what? Our words. Has everything to do with our words. And it is spread by our words. That's how gossip is spread. It's spoken, whether it be in print, whether it be by just our words that we speak. It can be on social media, whatever it may be. It is our words. What we say, how we say them, who we say them about, why we say them, are all reasons, are our words that actually cause what gossip brings about. Our words do. A few months ago, I actually recorded a teen podcast about our words and how powerful they can be. You know, I brought out that old phrase, and many of us have probably said that phrase, maybe to our kids, not our kids, but when we were kids, to maybe our brothers and sisters or somebody else. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I know I've said that when I was younger, but I would submit to you that that phrase is an utter lie. It is a lie. Because words may not break, if you will, literal bones, but they can hurt, can't they? They can hurt, and they can cut deep, and they can leave wounds that sometimes don't heal. Words are very powerful. They will build, or they will destroy. Period. Words will build up, or they will destroy. You know, I was thinking, as I was putting this together, I was thinking about the different things that are spoken about. And then I thought, you know, with words being powerful, I need to go to the most powerful being in the universe. And look what he spoke. Just by his words, when God spoke, what happened? God said, "Let there be light," and what happened? There was light. God created and built the heavens and the earth by what? Speaking words. Speaking words. How much more powerful can you get than that? You can't. You're not able to get more powerful than that. But one thing about it, God always chooses and he always uses his words perfectly. And only for righteousness. His words are only for good. Always. His words are only for good. Always. And you know what? That's how he wants and how he desires us to be. That's how he desires us to choose and use our words. For good. Always. For good always. The words that we speak every day of our lives will make an impact whether we know it or not. They will. They'll make an impact whether we know it or not. Our words, depending on what we are saying, how we say them, who we say them to, who we say them about, why we say them, will determine if our words will be helpful, if they will build up, or if our words will be harmful, if they will tear down and they will destroy, they will divide. Have you ever noticed, and I was thinking about this because it happens a lot. Have you ever noticed how, if you will, how quickly words can transform a room of people? The attitudes. You can go from being just fine to awkward just by words that are said. How quickly words can either calm or provoke. It can happen very quickly. Words are powerful for sure. From words, gossip is born. From words, gossip is born. But what exactly transforms our words into gossip? What exactly transforms our words into gossip? So let's start in Scripture. Let's take a look. Start taking a look at this. Let's go to Luke 6. Luke 6. Luke 6 and verse 43. Luke 6 and verse 43. It says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit." This is Jesus Christ speaking. "Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right here we see it all comes down to a matter of the heart. It comes down to the matter of the heart. It's why we say what we say. Why we say what we say. If our words are said truthfully, they're said truthfully and fully out of concern, and our concern will end up producing good fruit with no mixed or underlying intentions, then our words are meant for good. They are meant for good, and they are for righteousness. They are for comfort. They are for edification. They are for encouragement and help. They are profitable. But if our words we speak are not fully true, is there anything that's in between? There's no gray area. It's either black or white. There's no such thing as not fully true. It's either true or it's false. But if we speak words that are not true, our words are not controlled and are not for the good, nor for comfort, nor to encourage. And if we just have one underlying intention, just one underlying intention, then those words will produce nothing good. They'll produce nothing good and are considered idle. They're actually considered worthless. Worthless words, and therefore become gossip. Therefore become gossip and are wicked. James 1:26 says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious, notice he says, thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is what? Useless. His religion is useless. Worthless words make useless religion useless. Your religion useless. And then Jesus Christ told us, for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account. They will give an account in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's in Matthew 12:36-37. In this particular passage in Matthew 12, where Jesus Christ was speaking, when he said the word idle, that particular word in the Greek is argos, and it means useless, it means barren, it means yielding no return, something that is unfruitful. God will not accept anything or anyone that is unfruitful, will he? He just won't. Or does not give him a return. Because why? It's good for nothing. It's useless. I mean, you can go back to John 15. You can see that every branch that does not bear fruit, what does it say? It says, my Father takes it away. He takes it away. Let's go on to 2 Timothy. We're going to keep digging into this. 2 Timothy. Verse 14. It says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. Don't strive about words to no profit. And what does it cause? It's to the ruin of the hearers. He says, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings. And this actually means, the phrase idle babblings literally means empty discussion or useless matters. For they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message, it says, will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus, he says, are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth. And they've been passing a rumor along. That's what they've been doing, because they say that the resurrection has already passed. And because of that, it says, they overthrow the faith of some. They overthrow the faith of some. You know, discussions that produce nothing, discussions that are empty discussions, that are useless matters, produce nothing good. They are good for nothing and actually cause harm. It says that the effects can actually spread like cancer. That's what it says right here. And can even overthrow the faith of some. It can actually cause, it can actually be a stumbling block for others. Why is that? Why would that be? Well, as the definition that we actually read at the onset stated, said gossip is defined as words that are idle, or there are rumors, there are words that tell the personal and private matters about someone else. Either what someone has done, or what may have been heard, may have been seen, and you then go spread it about, even if you don't know it to be true. You know, if this type of conversation takes place, what is interesting is the thoughts and the way another person looks at an individual being discussed changes. Because if they knew nothing about that and you begin to explain something to somebody else, your thinking on a private or personal matter, an idle talk or rumor regarding someone else, the person that you're talking to, their thoughts and the way that they look at that person begins to change, begins to be altered. And this is dangerous and not something at all a Christian should ever be considered being part of, or a Christian should ever consider being part of at all. So I would like to ask the question, what would be considered gossip then? What would be considered gossip? Well, let's bring out the words then of that are synonymous to gossip. As you know, synonym is a word that means exactly or nearly the same as another word. So words synonymous with gossip are this: slander, backbiting, whisper, murmur, talebearer. Slander, backbiting, whisper, murmur, talebearer. So what exactly does the Bible say about these words? So let's look into that. That's what we're going to do. We're going to look into this. And to do so, though, to begin with, we're going to start in Proverbs. And as we go along, we're actually going to just kind of start building on this. And we're going to look at and look exactly what these words mean and how they can affect us and how they can affect others. Let's go to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10, and we'll start in verse 18. Proverbs 10, verse 18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Proverbs 10, verse 18, verse 19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Isn't it interesting how it even brings this out right here? Hatred of another that is hidden. Hatred of another that is hidden seems to always come out in words to someone else, sooner or later. It always happens. Always happens. The word slander here in verse 18, the word slander here in the Hebrew is debah. Debah, and it means defaming. In other words, defaming someone, an evil report of someone, or just to slander. Slander is to give an evil reporter to talk about someone in a way that damages actually their reputation. Anytime we speak about someone, either from a disgust or from rumors or a combination of both, it actually causes severe damage to that particular person's known character. This Hebrew word debah is actually from the root word divan. And I find this interesting because this means to move gently, to glide slowly, to creep along. I find that interesting because how is Satan described? As a serpent. What does a serpent do? Well, it glides along slowly, creeps along. You know, Satan uses slander to, if you will, glide slowly, to creep into the lives of God's people. This happens by and through any of us becoming disgusted with another, and then, if you will, doubting and looking at that person in a different way. And then, by our words, causing others to actually do the same. You know, that's exactly what Satan did to Adam and Eve. It's exactly what he did. You know, Satan, he gently glided slowly and creepily, creepily into their thinking about God. You know, Satan actually slandered God, the Creator. He did. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but he did. He slandered God, the Creator. In Genesis 3:1, Satan said, "Has God indeed said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Do you think that question was to Eve because he didn't know? No, it was to get her to doubt. Because the way he said it, he wanted her to question what God had said. He wanted her to question what God had said, or what rather commanded her and Adam. You know, this was slick. It really was. This was Satan slithering, gliding, if you will, in slowly to change a perspective on what God had told them. Actually, to change their perspective on who God was as a being. That's what he was trying to do. Change their perspective on who God was as a being to actually question his very character. Because in verse 4, Satan went on to say, "You won't surely die." Totally opposite of what God had told them, wasn't it? you eat of the trees, this particular tree of the garden, you will surely die. Satan comes along and says, you won't surely die. And then Satan went on to tell them, you know, Eve, God only told you this because he didn't want you to become like him and know good and evil. You know, with those particular words that Satan said, he actually slandered the very character of God. Slandered the very character of God. And you know, that's actually what Satan gets people to do every day, doesn't he? On a daily basis. But you know what? God doesn't like it. He does not like it, especially in his church. He doesn't like it among his people. Slandering anyone is wrong. Anyone. It is wrong. But slander in the body of Christ, it's unacceptable. Wholeheartedly unacceptable. We are not to slander someone else, no matter how terrible they may seem, or maybe they are. We still don't slander them. How do I know that? Let's go back to Jude. We're going to use passages to back up what we're talking about. Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude, so we'll start in verse 8. Jude verse 8. It says, likewise, also these dreamers, they defile the flesh, they reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. There are some people that have crept into the church. He says, yet Michael, and he says, these people, they speak evil of dignitaries. And he says, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. Here you have the Michael, the archangel. He is the angel over, the commander over the Lord's armies. One of high authority. He doesn't even bring a reviling accusation against Satan. What does reviling mean? It means slandering. It means evil speaking. It means injurious speech, vilification. And then the word judgment, accusation actually means judgment. So in other words, Michael didn't speak any type of criticizing or accusatory words about or to Satan. Who would be more deserving? If Michael didn't even do it, do we have any right? The answer to that question is no. Slander is dangerous because of where it leads. It is very dangerous. You know, there are those who, they do it purposefully. They do. They do it purposefully. And they do that to character assassinate other people. That's why they do it. And that's very obvious. It can be very obvious. Sometimes it's not so obvious until it happens or until it's been revealed. But there are times we may not even realize that we're slandering each other. We may not. But we must realize it. We must realize it because when and the way that we should realize it is when we say something that's negative, it plants, if you will, doubt and even begins corrupting someone else's perspective of another person. That's what it does. And if we do that, we have slandered. We have slandered. We have actually judged the person we're talking about to someone else by what we've said, whether it be true or not. Let's dig a little deeper. Let's go to Proverbs 16. If you want to put a mark in James, go ahead. We're going to flip back. If you have two marks, I put them back in Proverbs. Not the same passages, but at least in Proverbs and in James. We'll flip back there a few times. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 27. Says, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it's on his lips like a burning fire. Digs up evil on people, and it's on his lips like a burning fire. Cannot wait to get it off. You know, you touch something hot, you want to let go of it. Well, can't wait to get it out of his mouth. A perverse man sows strife. And it says, a whisperer separates the best of friends. A whisperer separates the best of friends. Whisperer in the Hebrew here is nergan. Nergan, and it means someone who is, guess what? A slanderer. That's what it means. A slanderer, a talebearer, a murmurer, a whisperer, a backbiter. But a whisperer is considered someone who secretly slanders. Who secretly slanders. That's also known as backbiting. This is where someone goes behind the back of another to talk about them in secret. Or someone who goes behind the back of the one that they have a problem with, biting and whispering in secret to someone else that doesn't need to know. I've been thinking about examples of that. And I thought, you know what? I could probably come up with some because I've heard them. And I imagine you have too. So I'll share three of them with you. I've got one here. You ever heard this? You know, just between me and you, I can't believe what I saw. I saw so-and-so doing. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah. Or this one. Can you believe how they are? You know what? It just confirms to me that they don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about anyone else. Blah, 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 blah. Or this one. You know, it's all because of so-and-so. You fill in the blank. And how they do such and such. That we're having these issues. Blah, 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 blah. You know, all these are generic examples. But they plant seeds of doubt. That's what they do. Satan uses them to plant seeds of doubt within someone else's mind. How? By murmurings, grumblings, backbiting, whisperings about the accused. Then that actually begins the process of harming relationships that are being built by causing an unsettling of the mind in those that it's shared with. Do you see how it happens? And it's very dangerous. It is very dangerous. Let's go back to James. James 4. James 4. Keep digging. James 4, because he brings something out here. James 4, verse 11. Says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, he speaks evil of the law and judges the law. He's above the law. That's what it's saying. He says, but if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but you're a judge. In other words, you've established the law. There is one lawgiver, or better, there is one judge who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? And this particular word, another, literally means neighbor. We heard about that in the sermonette. It literally means neighbor. Who is your neighbor? We heard. It's everyone. Everyone is our neighbor. Who are you to judge anybody else? There's a difference between righteous judgment and judging. We're gonna dig into this just a little bit as well. But the Greek word for the phrase "he who speaks evil," right here back in verse 11, is katatalaleo, katatalaleo, and it means to slander, to speak against, to criminate. In other words, to condemn someone. And that's not our place to condemn anyone. God is the only judge. When we slander, actually, we're judging one another. We're putting ourselves above them. Guess what that is? Pride. That's pride. God is the only judge. When we start judging one another, we begin the process of destroying their very character. Let's continue to dig. Let's go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 6. Proverbs 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth, it calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. It goes down deep, goes inside. Whisperer here in the Hebrew is, right here, where am I at, is the same word, nergon, that we looked at back in Proverbs 16. And we know what that means, a slanderer, a talebearer, a murmurer, a whisperer, a backbiter. These whisperings are, as it says right here in the Hebrew, they are tasty trifles. In other words, lahem. In other words, gulped or swallowed up greedily, like dainty morsels, to any who hear it. To many, I guess you could say, who hear it, because there's not everyone who wants to hear it. And we're going to talk about that as well. But why? Because aren't the goods on someone pretty tasty? Maybe not to everybody, but to many people they are. But anyone who, if you will, eagerly listens, swallows or gulps them up, these slanderous words, gulp them up, and then digest them in, start thinking about them, do you realize it actually infects that person? Infects that person. It does. They're infected with the griefs and murmurings of another's thoughts and feelings towards someone else. That's what it is. And you take them in, and it becomes a part of you. And because of that, someone else's grievances are now in that other person's mind. And then from this, the now infected person begins to think differently, if you will, towards, and even, if you will, we even hit on this a little bit ago, even better than the accused, particular person, that accused person. And in turn will continue the murmuring, if you will, in their own mind. Because that's what happens. You begin murmuring in your own mind about this particular individual. I've heard this. Is this true? And you start thinking about it, and it starts rolling around in your mind. And then assumptions start to form. And pretty soon, you know new truth about these people. That's what happens. It's exactly what happens. And then from that, a resentment against the accused can and will begin to settle in. And soon, it will again be carried out in words to someone else, won't it? Over and over and over again. James 5. James 5, verse 9. Just one verse. James 5, verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge, the righteous judge, is standing at the door. Here, grumble actually means not outwardly, but inwardly. That's what it means here, to do so within ourselves, to inwardly groan, to sigh, and to murmur against someone else in yourself. This is where it's actually got to be stopped before it even gets to that. It's got to be stopped here, because if it isn't, sooner or later it'll end up being transmitted by whisperings to someone else, and then affecting and infecting others. And as we said a little bit ago, on and on it goes. On and on it goes. Then before long, guess what? The accused person has been judged. They have been judged, not by one, but by many. They've been judged by many of doing something they may not have even done at all. All because someone began secretly whispering to someone else about their own grievances. Do you think God likes that? Absolutely not. Actually, he hates it. He actually hates it. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27. Just one verse. Deuteronomy 27. Here is where the children of Israel are getting ready to go, the second generation is getting ready to go into the land of the promised land. And the curses are pronounced, and through these, they're saying some things that Moses is commanding the people. And as he says them, the people agree. For instance, in verse 18 in chapter 27, cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. Well, that doesn't show love for your neighbor. Cursed are you. And it says, all the people shall say, amen. I agree. So be it. Verse 24. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. And all the people shall say, amen. You know, this is actually talking about when someone, I mean, there's a couple different ways it can go. We understand the spirit of the law, right? But this is when somebody comes up behind their neighbor, and like Cain did with Abel, he rose up against him, hit him, killed him, however he did it, slew his neighbor, rose up behind him secretly. But this can also be when someone does it with their words. Because if you are doing it to break down a particular person or to spread some slander against someone else or say something to cause a negative impact or thoughts regarding that particular person, it is done in the spirit of murder. It is. It's done in the spirit of murder. Because you're rising up secretly to attack your neighbor. That's very dangerous. Very dangerous, and we have to be very careful of that. Back to Proverbs 6. We're back to Proverbs, and we'll go to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look to start it off. Anytime that you try to, if you will, make yourself look better than someone else by what it is you're saying, it's very proud. A lying tongue, especially if all the words that you're saying are not true. Hands that shed innocent blood. This word hands indicates power. Indicates power. What do we say that our words are? Powerful. And it can actually ruin someone's character. At least what people think of them, for sure. A heart that devises wicked plans. When you start murmuring against someone else and what it is and how it is, you start thinking about things in your own mind and you think, I need to go tell somebody else about this. Feet that are swift in running to evil. I can't wait to go tell such and such about this. A false witness who speaks lies. And at the end, the seventh, one who sows discord among the brethren. God hates these things. He hates them. And he knows what gossip will do. He does. I'd like to go to Psalm 101. We're right here in Proverbs. Psalm 101 is just not too far away. Because this actually shows us something. What God thinks about it. How much he hates it. In verse 5 of Psalm 101, it says, Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one has a haughty look and a proud heart, I won't put up with it. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house, and he who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all evildoers from the city of the Lord. Well, this just shows us that gossip, slander, talebearing, murmurings, backbiting, or whispers will be allowed in God's presence into the kingdom of God. We will not inherit the kingdom of God if we continue in slander, if we continue in whispering and backbiting of one another. God's serious about this. He is truly serious about this. We must understand that all the things that we have discussed describe the sin of spreading secrets or assumptions. Or in other words, absolute lies about others. Why does that even happen anyway? Why does it happen in God's church? Well, for one, in order to cause someone else to think, in order to have someone else thinking like you think, if that would be you saying something that was slanderous. Or it could be to undermine. Or to cause harm to someone else's character. Or to make another themselves, whomever's doing it, look better. Or maybe all of the above. The spreading of false, skewed, assumed, or secretive information goes nowhere good. It always causes conflict, and it will always cause trouble. And in the end, it will cause division, period. And God hates that. How do you think Satan got a third of the angels to go with him? How do you think? He did it the same way he did it with Adam and Eve. He infected their thoughts. And I would imagine it was done by whisperings, backbiting, murmuring, and slandering, once again, their very creator. And in turn, causing doubt, assumptions, and skewed thinking of God Almighty and his plan. And what happened? Division rose its ugly head. That's what happened. That's why God tells us that those who sow discord among the brethren are an abomination. They're an abomination to him because he knows where it leads. It leads to destruction. And the thing is, it doesn't just take down one person. It takes down many. It always takes down many. Always. And it's truly sad. Our Father in heaven knows how division comes about, and guess what? Gossip is a major contributing factor. It is. Because the injuries sustained from gossip are far-reaching. They are far-reaching. Like I said, whenever it affects, it doesn't affect just one person. Never does. Never does. Because what happens is, it goes from thoughts to attitudes, it goes from attitudes to words, it goes from in those words to slander, and then it goes to hatred and it goes to division. That's what happens. And for the angels who succumbed to Lucifer's own thinking, guess what? Ultimately blackness forever, whatever that looks like. Our words are powerful beyond what we really know. We may not be able to see our words, but we can see the effect of our words. The effects of what we see. And I'll say this, those who are godly will never intentionally harm anyone else. No one. No other neighbor, especially those of the household of faith, by slander, by whisperings, by backbitings and murmurings, which are gossip. You know, even if actions are, if you will, suspicious, a godly person will strive to think the best to avoid thinking or speaking evil, but they'll find it out. They'll search it out. They'll prove all things. Also, a godly person, a Christian, someone who walks as Jesus Christ walked or walks, guess what? They won't even listen to gossip. They won't even listen to it. As a matter of fact, a Christian will actually shut gossip down. They'll shut it down. They won't even hear it. That's our responsibility. It is our responsibility. If someone says something to us about someone else, what is the first thing you need to say? Have you talked to them about that? Have you talked to your brother about that or your sister, about your grievance or your concern? Well, if they haven't, don't even listen to them. Say, you need to go to your brother or your sister first. Because if we do stop and we do listen and we take it in, we're as guilty as they are. We are. We are as guilty as they are. We are told to go to our brother or our sister if we have an issue. That's what we're told. Go to your brother. Actually, let's go back there. It's in Matthew 18. Let's go back to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 and verse 15. Says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and everybody else. No, it doesn't say that. It says between you and him or her alone. Does that include anybody else? I believe that's two people, isn't it? If he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear, okay, this is when it changes. It says, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And then, if they refuse to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen, says, or tax collector. I mean, our personal grievances, and this is something we always have to remember, our personal grievances are not to be gossiped about. They're not to be talked about to others. No, rather, we're told we are to go to who? The one we have the grievance with. The one we have the grievance with. Between them or and us alone. No one else. As it says here, unless, of course, they won't listen. Unless, of course, they won't listen. Then and only then. But we never bring a reviling accusation against them ever. Our only reason to bring someone else in should be because we love our brother or sister and we want to work it out. That's it. Gossip, whispering, backbiting, and murmuring have no place in healing any type of grievance, in any type of relationship, in any type of relationship issue. No place at all. No place at all. We must remember that when we gossip about our grievances with someone else, we are as guilty as the one who may have hurt us. Why? Because when we go about gossiping about the issue and we haven't gone to the one who's offended us, we are actually judging our brother. And we talked about that a little bit ago. And that's only something that God has the right to do. We must always, always remember that we have the same Savior. He died for us all because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners the same, just the same, aren't we? We've all fallen short of His glory. And God has told us that we are to go to each other, and it is our responsibility to go to each other and work out our differences. That's what we're to do. We are all to be working at becoming better godly people. Our job as Christians is always to deny any gossiper the opportunity to spread slander. We have to let them know it is not acceptable. We need to remind anyone who begins talking about someone in a negative way, you know what? It needs to be done in meekness and out of love. God doesn't approve of that. God doesn't approve of it. He doesn't. Because we cannot be guilty of, as it says back in James, and we're not going to turn there, but it says in James 3, 9 through 10, with it, and he's talking about our tongue, and the words that come from our tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. He says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. That ought not be. That's what he says. Those things ought not to be so. But you know what? Satan would love nothing more than that to happen. That's what he wants. Satan wants gossip to flow freely between, and that's what it does. Causes division. Gossip to flow freely between God's people because he knows it will begin to foster that suspicion, doubt, assumptions, and the like, and if not stopped, will cause the hurt and the division that we've been talking about. And unfortunately, words said as slander, whispering, backbiting, and murmuring, guess what? Once they're said, you can't unsay them. You can't. You know, I've thought about it, what it's like. There's some who probably may be able to do this, but I can't. It's like toothpaste. When you squeeze it out of the tube, you get too much on your toothbrush, Have you ever been able to put it back in the tube? If you can, please come tell me, because I want to know how to do it. But it's like that. Once it's out, it's out. It's said. You can't unsay something you say. You can't anymore. Anything that you put on social media, you can't undo it. It's there. Whether it be in print, in word, whatever. When it's out, it's out. There's actually a story, and some of you may have heard this story. The author's unknown, but I want to share it with you. It's titled Feathers on the Wind. Anybody ever heard that story? Feathers on the Wind. It goes this way. It says, once there was a man in a small village who went about talking about something he had heard about someone else. Soon, the whole village had heard the rumor. Later on, the man who had spread the news learned that rumor was untrue. The man was very sorry, and he went to an elder in the village who had had a reputation for great wisdom to seek advice. The elder told the man, I have one thing that I want you to do right now. Actually, I have two things, but I have one thing that I'd like for you to do now. Then come back and see me. Go to your home, take a feather pillow, go up to the hill behind your home, and when the wind picks up, cut the pillow open and watch the feathers scatter with the wind. So the man did as the elder had instructed. Then the next day, the man returned to visit the elder and asked, why was this so important, and what would you like me to do next? The wise elder then said, well, before we discuss that, I would like for you to go collect the feathers the wind scattered and bring them back to me. The man, bewildered, went home and began searching long and hard for all the feathers, but he could only find a few because the wind had carried most of them away. The man returned to the elder and said, I could only find a few of the feathers I scattered yesterday. Then the wise elder said, you see, it's easy to scatter the feathers, but it is impossible to get them all back. So it is, he says, with our words. It doesn't take much to spread hurtful words, but once you do, you can never completely undo the damage. Gossip is nobody's friend. One may be able to undo some of the damage, but we cannot undo all the damage. We can ask for forgiveness, and they can forgive us. And the wounds in time will heal, but the scars will always remain. We of all people cannot allow destructive words and things into our lives and into the body of Christ. None of us. Rather, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 25. It says, therefore, verse 25 of Ephesians 4, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. And then he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. The word corrupt in the Greek is sapros, and it literally means rotten, putrid, worthless, unfit for use. Don't let a word like that proceed out of your mouth. But yet, what is good for necessary, it says, edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and this word is better translated, slander, be put away from you with all malice. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has done for you. This is what we are to be doing. This is our responsibility. If not, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. We will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'd like to end with two passages. I'd like to go to Malachi 3. If you'd turn back to Malachi 3, we'll read two passages, and we'll finish up the sermon. Malachi 3, verse 16. Malachi 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord, they spoke to one another. I didn't see where it says they spoke about one another. It says they spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance is written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine. Those words would be pleasing to God. The way that you treat one another, the way that you are to love one another. He says, they will be mine, and on that day I will make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you again shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not serve him. It should be obvious. It should be obvious now who serve the Lord. It should. By the way we speak. It should be very obvious. Psalm 15, and we'll end this. Psalm 15. Psalm 15, we'll read the entire chapter. There's only five verses. Got everybody excited there for a second. Psalm 15, verse 1. We see here, as it says, the question is asked, Lord, who may dwell, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may be in your presence? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Who may be a part of your kingdom? Who may be a part of your government? And then he answers, he who walks righteous uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite, he who is not a talebearer, a slanderer, a gossip with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. God hates gossip, and he will not allow it in his kingdom, because he knows. He knows what it brings about. Always remember, gossip is nobody's friend.